Good evening, brethren. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for coming together to be edified and to open up another portion of God's Word. That way we may learn from it and apply it in our lives. And as a side note, thank you all so much for this afternoon and just being there and being that source of edification. And just ever since, and I can speak for Gabby and I both, we just felt a family ever since we've been here, part of your guys' family. And we cannot thank you guys enough for that. Now tonight, we will be going over Greek phalanxes, and you might be wondering, what in the world is a phalanx? Well, I have a little story for you. So the year is about 480 BC, and one of the most famous battles are about to take place. This is about close to 480 years before Christ was born. You have two armies coming together. You have 7,000 men being led by a Greek king by the name of Leonidas, who is a Spartan, going against what historians estimate to be about 300,000 men. And their goal is to try to keep those 300,000 men from coming into Greece and completely destroying it. They meet at this little pass called Thermopylae, which is English for the hot gates. Now, the Greeks were known to be warriors. And not only were they known to be warriors, but they were known to be smart warriors. So what did they do? They built up basically this big metal box of shields, of armor, of spears, in order to keep back these 300,000 men. Now, it should have been pretty easy for those 300,000 Persians to completely take control of the situation and wipe them out. But it was through something that we called phalanx that they were actually able to not only defeat time and time again for about a period of 5 days the Persians, but to be able to save Greece. You might be wondering, how were they able to do with so few men? Well, it was through three things that everyone would need in order to participate within a phalanx to make this impenetrable barrier. The three things are strength, discipline, and endurance. And today, we need strength, discipline, and endurance against our fate, against our world, too. And the reason why is because we, if we're honest with ourselves, is against an enemy that is more numerous than us. But we too, like the Greeks, can remain victorious. So the first part, strength. Strength would have been an important aspect of any Greek. They would have had, whether they were Spartan or whether they were Athenian, they would have had gymnasiums, and that's where we get our idea of gymnasiums from, in order to build up their strength. Spartans would have been training daily, starting at age 12. That is a very important part of the phalanx, and that is a very important part of our life with as Christians in Christ Jesus. So how do we train? Well, just like the Spartans not expecting a baby to be able to bench 500 pounds every day, right? We too need to train appropriately. We need to train where we're at in our spiritual walk. You don't expect someone to be washed away, washing their sins away in the waters of baptism, and the next day be able to give a 5-point lecture on everything that Revelation has to teach a Christian, right? You got to meet them where they are at. So we need to build up our strength through our brothers and sisters in Christ, through our shepherds, and through our family. If you're an individual who needs strengthening, you need to ask questions. I know it seems kind of nerve-wracking, especially those like myself who, even though I'm speaking in front of all of you right now, public speaking was not my forte for the longest time. So I know questions might seem on the edge to be something terrifying. But we need to ask questions whenever we're in these Bible studies. That way we might be strengthened. When we ask questions, we should be seeking to understand. And whenever individuals come in and they ask questions, no matter how silly the questions might appear to be, we don't need to laugh or anything like that whenever they ask these questions, because that might just be where they're at. I have a story that I like to go over about an individual. She was an eighth grade girl in my world history class. She rose her hand up one day in class, and she said, "Mr. Petty, I have a really pressing question." So I said, "Oh, well, let me know. That way I can answer it." And this is an eighth grade girl in Florida, and what she said was, "Mr. Petty, what language do they speak in England?" I had to control my laughter for a little bit. And the reason why is because if I were to laugh like the rest of the students were laughing, that might discourage her from asking questions in the future. And the same thing applies with Bible classes, with Bible studies. Can't laugh because then that might discourage someone from actually seeking out the truth. You see, I was just like that student whenever I first became a Christian. You know, the only things that I knew was the Prince of Egypt, and me and BJ were actually talking about this at the Ark, and I thought, well, that has to be a 100% true story. What do you mean that Pharaoh and Moses were not actually treated like brothers and that they were best friends, right? I just needed to learn. But that was the only things I knew was sin bad, Jesus good, and that was about it. It took a lot of questions and a lot of studying in order to build up my own spiritual strength. So with that being said, do not, if you are an individual that needs strengthening, put off Bible study, because that is where we find our spiritual strength. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, we'll begin reading there. And this is a common passage that people usually know. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 will tell us what we need to do to build up our own spiritual strengths. As Paul writes in his letter to Timothy what he needs. Second Timothy 3, beginning in verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You see, the scriptures are what prepare us to be strong in a spiritual sense for the spiritual fight that is ahead for us. Jesus is a perfect example of the spiritual strength. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and I know it's kind of back-to-back, but this has to go in line with strength. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we'll see the three temptations that we are familiar with that Jesus had to go through. And he is the perfect example through Matthew's account of how someone who could have been fasting for 4 days, 40 nights, extremely weak, whether from not having enough food, definitely drinking water, but not having enough food, can still be able to overcome Satan, to have spiritual strength. Beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these breads become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and began to minister to him. Jesus is our perfect example that in weakness, we can have strength too. Where was Jesus' strength from? It was from the scriptures, and we get our spiritual strength from the scriptures too. We need to dig deep and provide this strength for ourselves from the scriptures by studying the word of God. You see, without the strength, we can't lift up our shields. Isn't that what Paul tells the Ephesians, that we have the shield of faith? If we cannot build up our faith by reading the word of God, then we cannot lift up our shields to defend ourselves against Satan too. Our strength, once it becomes strong enough, can help build up one another. And that's the beauty of the phalanx. How they used to build up these phalanxes is that you would be basically shoulder to shoulder with each other. You would build one another up in order to be an impenetrable defense. That's the same way we can be for our brethren. Whenever we build up our strength, we can help them in order to build up their own. Now, we don't only need strength as one of the things that we learn from the phalanx, but we need to know how to use that strength in the heat of battle. It can get a lot very confusing in the heat of battle, and that is where discipline comes into play, the third aspect of the phalanx. Now, discipline, in this case, is talking about listening to orders from someone who is an officer or whether it be a general, and acting upon those orders without flinching and standing firm. The Spartans, from our story earlier, were an extremely disciplined force, and that is because they listened to their leaders, to their kings. And what do we need to do as Christians? We need to also listen to our leadership. And what does that leadership look like? Well, first and foremost, it's our King, which is Jesus Christ. He will lead us into battle, and he will tell us what we need to do in order to remain victorious. We need to listen to his orders whenever he gives them. The Apostle Paul tells us what these orders look like in the book of Ephesians. If you'll turn there with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 12, we'll begin reading there to see exactly what the overall orders of the king is. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. As there it says, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." You see, in that first part in verse 11, we are to put on the full armor of God. That is the first and foremost order that our King has given us. We are not to only put on the full armor of God, but verse 12 tells us the other part of that. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." That is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. We do not wage this war against flesh and blood, but we wage it in a spiritual sense against the forces of wickedness. Now, it gets kind of crazy on a battlefield, and all the time, someone might not be able to hear directly what the king's saying in a clear way, what the general is saying in a clear way, and that's why on ancient battlefields, they used officers in order to relay, to confirm, to clarify what the king's saying. And the church has that too. The church has that in the form of shepherds. And that's where our second form of leadership comes from. The officers supplement what the king says. Christ appointed elders so that in our spiritual fight, we can succeed against the devil. Turning to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, gives us a brief glimpse into the role of elderships. And not only into the role of elderships, but what we should do as younger Christians serving the elders. Beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You, younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Officers in history have very important jobs. Not only do they clarify and help other people understand what their king, what their general wants, they also prove to be the example, as 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us. there was the story that one of my favorite professors in college told me. He was kind of a crazy guy, ex-Navy SEAL, fought in Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and stuff like that. But he knew a guy, or knew a story, I should say, of someone who served in World War I. In World War I, a bunch of these guys, lower enlisted guys, were cleaning out the stables. Sounds like a fun job, right? Cleaning out a bunch of horse manure. They were not having a fun time. And they were wondering, why were the officers able to have fun? Why were they not doing this job? Well, the reason why they weren't doing that job was because they were preparing to lead the men into battle. That's what they were doing. They were proving to be the examples that whenever push came to shove, they would be the first ones out of the trenches. They would know what to do. And not only would they know what to do, but they would be able to lead the men victoriously into battle. Isn't that what our shepherds do? Don't they lead by example? If there's a sheep in wolf clothing, for example, within the flock, do they not protect the rest of the flock from that false teaching? If there is someone who's injured, whether it be of a physical or a spiritual nature, but especially a spiritual nature, do they not go and seek out that individual and help them along the path to healing? You see, our shepherds lead by example. Their roles are very important in our spiritual conflict. And what we can do in return is submit to the elders as the Apostle Peter told us to do. We need to submit because we often don't have the wisdom or experience in order to combat everything that comes into our life. Another story from Vietnam in this case was told that if a war ever breaks out, to wait about 6 months before you join. And the reason why is because usually with officers, and that's what I've been told at least, not from personal experience, but within the first 6 months, that's whenever the younger ones who don't have a lot of experience get weeded out, in a way. What I was told specifically with that example is that early on in Vietnam, what ended up happening is a lot of these officers didn't know what to do since they were younger guys, fresh out of college, never experienced the battlefield. And what ended up happening is whenever a Viet Cong would come up and kind of give them a chase, they would run after, and since they didn't have experience, they would end up being ambushed and die. That's why we can't listen to ourselves. That's why we have to listen to the older officers of our battlefield, our elders. And the reason why is because the older officers in this case, after the 6 months happened, they figured out pretty quickly, that's not a good idea. We shouldn't run headlong after someone because it could end up being ambushed. That's why we need to listen to our elders, is because spiritually speaking, they know, they had the experience, they had the wisdom to help us in our fight, to help us not be overcome. Now, another important reason for leadership is what we can learn from just the book of Judges overall. Without leaders, God's people always fall away. And not only do they always fall away, but it's because they do whatever is right in their own eyes. They are not unified. Isn't the church supposed to be unified? Wasn't that the Lord's prayer, was for us to be unified? The only way for us to be unified is through effective leadership that the shepherds provide. Now, without this effective leadership, we would be quickly overrun since there's no organization. It would almost be like within a phalanx that one person is out on one hill, one person is out on another hill, you have five people over here, three people over there, and whenever another phalanx comes by, easily get wiped out. That's the same way it works with churches. Whenever there is no effective leadership within the church, there is no unity. Now, we talked a lot so far about strength. We talked a lot about discipline. The last thing that we need and that we can learn from the phalanx is endurance. Now, it was important for a phalanx to have strength. It was important for a phalanx to have discipline and leadership, but you also needed to have endurance. And the reason why, whenever two phalanxes met on the battlefield, they would be pretty much tied up. Both had good leadership, both had strength. what usually determined the battle was which side had the most endurance. And the reason why is because as soon as people's shields fell down, the enemy could come in and wipe them out. Endurance is what won the battle. And it is no different with our spiritual walk, that we too need to have endurance. As Christians, we need to cultivate this, and we need to grow our own endurance. Now, what does this look like? We need to endure temptations. James tells us a lot about this. If you'll turn to James chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, James tells us about endurance too. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. And before we begin reading, he tells us what happens to those who endure. And what happens to those that endure? They find life. Those who do not endure, they get overcome by the enemy, and they find death. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. If we do not endure through our own temptations, it is going to lead, spiritually speaking, to the enemy winning, to overcoming our defenses, and killing us. However, there is hope in what James says, as stated earlier, because if we do have endurance, then we will find life. We will overcome, and we will have the victory. The devil is just looking for an opportunity to weaken us. Think about it. There was three opportunities whenever he tempted Jesus, and those were some pretty big risks that he took. There was pretty big strength in those temptations. But that's not the last time that we hear about him tempting Jesus. He starts to work from the shadows. And if he does that to our Lord and Savior, who had all the strength, he will do that to us too. Not only will he come at us with big attacks, but he'll come at us with smaller attacks, just trying to weaken, chisel away through our armor, in order to overcome us. We have to have greater endurance. We have to have greater endurance and strength to overcome the enemy. Without endurance, we can't run the race that the Apostle Paul tells us to run. So what does this endurance look like? Endurance, in this case, looks like saying no to sin, to sinful practices, to temptation. We have to say no consistently and never giving in to the temptations that the devil presents us with. We all have temptations that are unique to us. Some of us suffer from temptations of the three categories: the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Each one has their own unique circumstance, own unique temptation that Satan tries to weaken us with. However, the Lord Jesus speaks of what we are supposed to do whenever temptation comes in our life in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 24. As it says in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We must deny ourselves. We must deny the temptations. Carrying crosses back then would have taken a lot of mental endurance and physical endurance. And sometimes whenever it comes to our temptations, we too need to mentally endure and physically endure the temptations that Satan presents us with. So how do we deny ourselves and pick up our crosses? Someone, and these are just three examples, but maybe suffers from a lustful situation. Internet and TV blockers. That's something that we need to do if we suffer from that. Someone who suffers from some kind of alcohol or drug abuse, what they need to do is find professional help to help them through and to build up endurance. Someone who suffers from anger management classes. And you take them, that way you can build up your endurance and to overcome. We must seek help in order to increase our own endurance. That way we can overcome the devil. Now, all these are great ways to help build up our endurance, but in reality, unless we also look at the heart issue of an individual, these practices to try to build up our endurance are useless. And what do I mean by that? Well, safeguards are useful, but we need to look at the heart too. You know, in the heat of battle, if someone is not resolved to win, most time they're not going to win because they already put defeat in their own head. Something that I like to go over the situation is me and running. As you can tell, I don't really like to run that much. Back in high school, I used to like lifting weights, but running, count me against it. And this is how it usually goes. I call it running and negotiation. We can already see I'm off to failure. Should be able to run about a mile, right? Seems like a big task for me, but go out to run my mile. Well, I have a lot of energy at first, but as I get through that quarter mile, I start telling myself, well, you know, maybe if I hit that three quarters of a mile, I'll call it good, and then I'll start walking from there, right? I'll be proud of myself if I hit three quarters of a mile. Well, a few more steps later, start getting more tired. Well, there's some nice shade by that tree at that half-mile marker, right? I'll take a break there. I'll be really proud of myself, right? And I'll be able to continue from there. Before you know it, overcome by tiredness, don't really want to do it, I've already lost. And where did I begin to lose? Did I begin to lose with telling myself at the three-quarters mark or the half-mile mark? No, I began to lose because at the beginning I started telling myself, hey, I can negotiate myself out of this. In the same way with endurance and sin. We have to be resolved to say no to sin and to endure through this temptation. We cannot let our guard down. We cannot let our defenses down in this case. We must be mentally prepared in order to be firm and to overcome against the devil. Now, endurance within our own spiritual phalanx will bring us victory. And not only will endurance bring us victory, but strength and discipline will too. Brethren, today we're at war. And in order to better prepare ourselves for this war, to be able to learn lessons from the phalanx, we need to build up these three traits. We need to build up our strength, we need to build up our discipline, and we need to build up our endurance. We can learn a lot from the ancient Greeks and the ancient Spartans in physical battles. And in turn, just like they did, we can also face off against innumerable odds and to remain victorious in our fight against sin and against spiritual wickedness. Now, if you are an individual who has gone against the world and has not felt like they have overcome, and you have never come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity at this time to come forward, be washed away in the waters of baptism, and to join his army to be protected by those lines of shields, and to build up your strength, to build up your endurance, and to build up your discipline. If you're an individual who has come to the Lord and maybe slacked a little bit on the strength, slacked a little bit on the discipline, started negotiating, and did not endure, you too can come back to the Lord, and you can build up all three of those things and remain victorious. If you have that need or any other need that the saints here at the Danville Church of Christ can help you with, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.